week's marriage and family retreat or conference or revival last week, and had a wonderful turnouts, and a lot of people were here, and there were several that obviously could not come, maybe with work or sickness or out of town, things like that. So all of the preaching is on our Facebook page, and the men's split session on the Facebook page. And ladies, if you would like to have the ladies' split session, my wife has audio of that that she can send you from her phone. And so just let her know that you'd like to have a copy of that, and she can send that right to you. All right, today I'm going to read you my title, and it'll sound kind of strange, okay? It might not make sense, but I'll explain it, amen? I'll try to anyway. But today we're going to preach on living holy and holy for God. We're living holy and holy for God. And I'm not stuttering, and that is two different things. Obviously, you spell the first one with a W, like living holy, like fully holy. We're going to live holy for God and holy, just with the H. And this is pure, and this is how God wants us to live. So we're going to look at, the Bible commands us to live holy for God and holy for God. And so we're going to try to live holy and holy for God. And Ephesians 5:18, as far as introduction, we're going to look at a few places here, and then we'll get into the outline. But Ephesians 5:18, the second part of it, it says right there, be filled with the Spirit. And if you'll look at that right there, it's got a capital S. And so, of course, we know that that's talking about the Holy Spirit. Anytime you're reading through the Bible and you see a lowercase s, that's about like our spirit, or even, you know, God's spirit, but not talking about the Holy Spirit. And if you see a capital S, of course, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that part of the Godhead, as far as the Holy Spirit goes. And so the Bible is a command. This is not if you would like to, if you get around to it, if you turn over enough new leaves to be. No, it just commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, some people teach different on this. But according to the Bible, and we're going to see that in just a minute, when you get the Holy Spirit, you get all of Him. Right? You don't have to work up the Spirit. You don't have to earn different parts of Him. When you say, dear Lord Jesus, that's talking about the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. The Bible says all. You can't get any more of it. But it says here to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what the difference is when you get saved, you get all of the Holy Spirit. But as you grow in Christ, the Holy Spirit gets more of you. Okay? So there ought not be parts that you've eased Him out of. All right, God, I'm going to give you everything except this little compartment over here, so the Holy Spirit's not allowed in here. But the Bible says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's some people, they think that they can, you know, they can work it up and they can get some, you know, vibes to maybe slap somebody upside the head and heal them. Yes, God is a healer. And He can heal people. And that's why we pray that God does heal people. And on our prayer list, we have had somebody that's diagnosed with this. And we've been praying. And all of a sudden they go back and they're like, we can't find it. Or it is gone. So God can do that. But that's not in my power. That's not in anybody else's power to get some special vibe with the Holy Spirit. Also, there's some teaching out there that if you get more of the Holy Spirit, you know, you're more spiritual, you can speak in an unknown tongue. All right? And there were cases of it in the Bible. But it wasn't jibber-jabberish. All right? It wasn't made up, you know, talking about motorcycle names. Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, all whatever. It's not that. They were able to speak in a language that they hadn't learned. For instance, if it was American in Spanish, like it is a lot in our world today, all right, they didn't know Spanish. But all of a sudden God said, whoop! And they could speak in Spanish. And the people that needed to hear it in Spanish heard it in their language and they heard the gospel. That was the miracle. It wasn't some type of, you know, an interpreter, yes. I've done that. I spoke to a bunch of Spanish people, and I don't even speak English good. Redneck, yes. Country bumpkin, yes. I got those two. All right? But I'd have to say a few things, and this guy over here would be saying some stuff. I had no clue what he said. So he could have preached anything he wanted. All right? But he was interpreting redneck and interpreting country bumpkin to those Spanish people, okay? But God says here, but the Holy Spirit, you don't get pieces of Him. You get Him all when you get saved. But the Bible does say, be filled. In other words, let Him have all of you. All right? So, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Acts 2:4. This is one of the instances I was talking about. So, we saw the command. Now, we're going to see the example of. The example of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 says this, and they were all. Okay, so God's not, He's not saying, oh yeah, select few. I mean, there's verses in the Bible that says that there is no private interpretation. So if anybody ever says to you, I was reading the Bible and God spoke to me only and I know. All right, wrong answer. He's not going to give any special person any private interpretation. It is what it is. And so we see here, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, capital S, and Holony Ghost, same person. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Again, not jibber-jabbers, but a different language as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so those people, if you read that whole context, that whole chapter, you'll see they were able to hear in their tongue. And the Bible also says it's better to say one word that is a known word than a bunch of words that are not known. And so again, the Holy Spirit's not going to give you that type of thing. So we see here, and David, so we saw the command, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We see the example, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we're going to look at David's desire. We ought to all want that. We ought to all want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And David was, he wanted to be holy, with a W, and holy, with an H. For God will find that it's necessary to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is found in Psalm 51:11. Psalm 51:11. And David was praying, talking to God, and it says here, cast me not away from thy presence. And so David is saying, God, I know I was a man after your own heart. And I served you and trusted you and you used me in a great and mighty way. I've goofed. Right? But I want that back. I want to get right with you. I want your forgiveness. And he says, cast me not from thy presence. Because he knew Saul. And Saul wist not that the presence of the Lord had withdrawn himself from him. So David was like, no, don't let that happen to me. This was his desire. And it says here, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. I need it. I need your help. I need your filling. I need your guidance. And verse 12 says this, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and upon me with thy free spirit. So we see here the command, be filled. The example, and they were all filled. David's desire, and now here's the promise as far as our introduction, is found in John 14, 16 and 17. John 14, 16 and 17, and this is the promise. God's command we saw an example of it, and we saw a desire of it to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here is the promise. John 14, 16 and 17, it says here, and I will pray the Father, and He shall, there's that promise, and He shall give you another Comforter, that ye may be able with you, or that He may be, that He may abide with you forever. And so in verse 17, it says here, even the Spirit, capital S, of truth. So this is what he's talking about. I'm going to pray. I'm going back to heaven now. But I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to give you a Comforter. And we know that's the Holy Ghost. That He may be abiding with you. And then in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So if you're not saved, you can't have Him. But if you're saved, you can have all of the Holy Spirit. Because it seemeth, or seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. Those of you that are saved, you know the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He dwelleth in you and shall be in you. So they obeyed the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled. So we see here, we follow the example of the early Christians and all be filled. And again, that's what the Bible talks about, being in one accord and being of the same mind. And that we all can be filled. And again, all of us have been in a place like that, whether it be in a meeting, whether it be in a room, whether it be in an auditorium, and it seemed like everybody's filled, and then there's this one little you can just feel it. I mean, you can feel it that they're not, you know, on the same page. They're not on all of one mind and so forth. It says here, but they were all filled. And then, so we should be like David. We should desire that Spirit's presence. We should acknowledge Him, knowing that the Holy Ghost is with us forever. And so the Bible describes the Holy Spirit in several different ways. And we're going to look at them this morning. Because if you're saved, you got all of Him. He may not have all of you. And that should be your desire. Let Him have all of you. You know, I'll give the Holy Spirit all of it except, I can't, there's just one little bitty room that I just can't accept God's forgiveness. I'll let Him in there. There's this secret sin that I have that I've got hidden over here in this compartment. No, confess it and let Him in there. Let Him be in every place of your body and in your heart. And so we're going to look at these ways that the Bible describes the Holy Spirit. So number one, the Bible describes the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, capital S Spirit, number one, as an occupant of a house. The Bible describes the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, as an occupant of a house. Now, I am an occupant of my house. I'm there to sleep. I'm there to eat sometimes. All right, I am there to remodel. I'm getting to do a lot of that. Amen. I am there. I'm an occupant of that house. I'm there to fix things that are broken and so forth. I live there. So the Holy Spirit in the Bible is, described as somebody that lives inside this house right here. This temple. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, what? Question mark. Know ye not that your body, this right here, that you're seeing, that you see in the mirror, your body is the temple or the house or the building, whatever you want to call it, that the Holy Ghost lives in, which is in you, which ye have of God. When you asked Him to save you, God gave you the Holy Spirit, and ye are not your own. So again, this house belongs to the Holy Spirit. He lives inside. I get to say what goes on at 6925 Lawrenceburg Road. I get to say, that's my house. I get to say, welcome in, don't come in. That's my prerogative. I get to say what comes on that TV. Nope, we're not watching that. Yep, we're watching that. That's my prerogative. Why? It's my house. I like it when I open that door and that smell hits me of maybe some backstrap, some potatoes with gravy, some big old cat head biscuits, and some purple hull peas, amen, or some fried okra. And why? That's my prerogative. That's my house. I like to eat that there. And so the Holy Ghost ought to get to have a choice in what goes on inside His home. So the Holy Spirit is a representative of the Godhead, the Trinity as we know it, that lives inside a saved person. So the Holy Ghost is described as an occupant of this house. So Jesus comes in our heart, and we know that's not the little thumpity-thump part. All right? The heart is the center. In other words, our body should be wrapped around Jesus. He should be the center of our attention. He should be the center of our life. He should be the center of our focus. He is in our center. So Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, all of them collectively live inside. So it says here, they should have a key to every room. They should have a key to every room. And so, again, there ought not be a secret compartment. There ought not be a code that only you know. Holy Spirit should have a key to every room, and we've already described that. Then it says here, He should be able to use every piece of furniture. So in other words, in my living room right now, when my grandkids are there, I try to say, this is Paw-Paw's recliner. All right, but as soon as Paw-Paw leaves the room, there's like 16 kids in that chair. All right. He's up, all right, and they want to lean it back, close it, lean it back, close it. All right, that's my chair. All right, and some of us is like that with some of our thoughts and some of our behavior. This is mine. I know the Holy Spirit lives here, but He can't use this. This is mine. All right, but the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit should have a key to every room. There shouldn't be a secret access. God should have it all. There shouldn't be a secluded piece of furniture. This is my use only. No, the Holy Spirit should have it all. Then, it should be clean. All right. Sometimes somebody knocks on the door unexpected. We're kicking dogs back. We're throwing stuff in the closet, shutting the door. Okay, come on in. All right. Because, whoa. But the Holy Spirit deserves a clean house. John 14:17 says this. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. And he delivereth, dwelleth with you, and ye shall be, he shall be in you. So you know what it's like having that Holy Spirit living inside of you. 1 Kings 19:12 says this. It tells us that God was not in the earthquake. If you read this, 1 Kings 19:12 says God, he wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. And if you keep on reading, it says he was in that small, still voice. So that occupant that lives inside of us, he doesn't have an earthquake. Hey, listen to me. He's not going to do that. And he's not going to set us on fire. Listen to me. No. He's just going to whisper, hey, this is the way, walk in it. Don't do that. Give me that key. Let me sit on that piece of furniture. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as an occupant in this house. Number two, he's not only an occupant, but the Bible calls him a seal, not a seal. All right, that was good, wasn't it? But a seal, a stamp of approval. All right, a seal on the document saying this is notarized. This is truth. This is a legal document. That seal, that stamp of approval, or that sealant. Like when you preserve something, you put that seal on there. It does that pop. You know it's going to be good for whenever till it pops again. All right? It's sealed. That's how the Bible describes the Holy Spirit. When you get Him, God's stamp of approval. My child. Forgiven. Coming to heaven no matter what. Boom. Seal. Stamp of approval. Praise God for that. But then also, He can't get out. When the Holy Spirit came in, I don't know if there's one of those little bumps like the mason jars that pops out when He gets in there or not. Right? Maybe we have an innie and it becomes an outie. Holy Spirit's in there, right? No, I'm just kidding. But He comes in and seals us. You can't get unsaved. You can't get unpreserved. You're kept. So let's look at the verses where it says this. Ephesians 1:13. In whom, talking about the Holy Spirit, you also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. You heard, hey, you're a sinner. Hey, you need to ask God to forgive you for your sin. Hey, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come inside of you and save you. Okay, after all that, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, here it is, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so there's that seal, God's approval, saved individual, child of God, going to heaven, cannot lose it. My property. I bought them with a price. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Okay? When He says, hey, I saved you. I don't know if I meant it. I don't know if I don't. He said, hey, don't grieve me. I told you I would save you. And if I told you I would save you, I will save you. Don't grieve me. And then, obviously, if the Holy Spirit says, hey, stop that. Give me a key to that room. Let me have that piece of furniture. No, fine. Don't grieve Him that way. If He says, hey, give that person a tract. Hey, invite that person to church. Hey, encourage that person. No, I can't do that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Whatever He's telling you to do, do it. But it says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, here it is, whereby you were or are sealed unto the day of redemption. God says He was going to save you and seal you until you go to heaven. That day of redemption. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Here it is, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we see here the Holy Spirit is not only an occupant in this house, He is a seal or a sealant. That seal is a permanent seal. Cannot be tampered with. Sometimes, you know, they'll tell you, all of us have done this on a towel or a pillow, do not remove. Well, it bothers me, so I'm going to cut it off. But the Holy Spirit says here, I've saved you and I've sealed you. Don't tamper with that. You can't remove it. You can't change it. You can't add to it. You can't do anything. The Holy Spirit says, hey, I am a seal and I'm a sealant and you are saved. Number three, we saw first of all that the Holy Spirit is an occupant in this house. Secondly, we saw the Holy Spirit is a seal. Thirdly, we see here as a well springing up. And some of us are old enough to know what a well is. Some of us are young enough that we know we go to the refrigerator, we stick that thing in there, and we get water. All right. Some of us had laid her down, bring it back up. All right. I had a great grandmother, no running water in her house, but right outside was a bucket, and you lowered it down in there, and then she had one of them, was it ladles or dippers? You could get some water, and then you had to go heat it up if you wanted to have a warm bath. But anyway, we know what a well is, but the Holy Spirit is described as a well springing up. It's not dry. Right? It's wet. It's always going to be there. So in other words, just like at your house, if you do have one of those refrigerators to do that, put it in there, go drink it, come back. It's always there, unless there's a problem. Okay? And there are some problems sometimes with the city water. And there are problems sometimes with well water that we have here on the earth. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, they don't have a problem. He said that Holy Spirit's always there when you need it. If you need a sip, get it. And when you come back, there'll be some more. And when you come back the next day, there'll be some more. That's what the Holy Spirit's there. He said, I'm not going to run out. You're never going to, you know, there's not going to be global warming enough to make the Holy Spirit disappear. It's not going to happen. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him, here it is, shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It's always going to be there. And we have examples of that. We know the story about the cruise and the oil. You know, give me a cake. You know, feed the preacher and you'll be fine. God will take care of you. Well, we only got enough for one. One little cake. And, make it for me. Sounds a little selfish. All right, but she obeyed God. Next time they opened it, there's some more. Made him one, ate. Next time they open it, there's some more. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying is, hey, I'll be a well springing up, and when you need me, I will be there. So we can have a never-ending supply of the Holy Spirit. No matter how many times we turn that faucet on, He's there. Now, He wants a clean vessel to flow in. It says here He wants for us to get rid of any dirt that would hinder Him or keep us from being a clean vessel. Where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man, therefore, purge himself. So it's not God's job to get rid of our sin. Now, He might convict us of our sin, but He's not going to come down here and take it from us. But the Bible says, if a man, therefore, shall purge himself. Conviction of the Holy Spirit, I want that room. I want to use that piece of furniture. You shouldn't be doing that. Conviction. That's all the Holy Spirit's going to do is point out the problem. It's up to us to purge. It says here, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared for every good work. So that Holy Spirit is always going to be there. It's like a well spring of water. Drink some, replenished. Drink some, replenished. But we can be dirty vessels, and God doesn't want to use a dirty vessel. So the Holy Spirit was described in the Bible as an occupant, as a seal, as a wellspring of water. Number four, as a river that flows. As a river that flows. John 7:38-39. John 7:38-39 says this, and he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this spake of the Spirit, capital S, which they that believe on Him shall receive, for the Holy Ghost was yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the blessing and the power of the Holy Ghost are not confined to that well. They want to flow out like a river that flows. And it can flow like a refreshing stream, river. God wants us to be give out that living water. And He wants it to be a never-ending, a never-stop-flowing river of living water. It says here, however, it is rested on the abilities of us. We can dam it up. Obviously, there's beavers out there that have messed up the water flow. And farmers get upset, or animals have lack of water because something was dammed up. And so, of course, we could do that as well. That living water, that Holy Spirit wants to flow, but we cannot speak. Or we cannot share. Or we cannot testify. Or we cannot preach. Or we cannot teach. And it stops. That flowing living water coming out of that river can stop. So we see here, God gives it to us, and He wants it to be a never-ending flow. The Holy Ghost, when it is given, He goes out immediately. Flowing again, ready to give it again and again and again. And so when we give it, just like that wellspring of water, God's going to give it right back to us. I'd heard a Christian or a preacher talking about that. The bread of life, if you want to call it, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. All we can do is say, okay, God, I'll take some bread of life. We read our Bible, we study it, we apply it to our life. Then we can give it to our kids, or we can give it to our friends. Or we can give it to our neighbors or coworkers, and then we got to get some more and give it. That river, that Holy Spirit wants to flow. He flows through us. So we saw that the Holy Spirit was an occupant. He was a seal. He was a well springing up. He was a river that flows. Number five, the Holy Spirit is described in the Bible as the sap of the tree. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit represents the sap of the tree. A tree without sap is going to be dead. A tree without sap is not going to produce any fruit. It's going to be limited. Romans 8:11 says this, "But the Spirit, capital S, of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead." So the same Spirit that lives inside of us, the Bible says that was the Spirit that quickeneth Jesus, raised Jesus up from the dead, "dwelleth in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead also, or shall also quicken you." I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I got saved and I was raised up to walk in the newness of life. That Holy Spirit quickeneth me in your mortal bodies by the Spirit which dwelleth in you. So we see here the sap is what brings the tree life. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit brings you new life. We also see that the Holy Spirit, or the sap of the tree, makes the tree grow. When we listen to the Holy Spirit from reading our own Bible or hearing it preached or taught, the Holy Spirit helps us grow. That's what the sap does. And we see that the sap keeps that tree alive. The Holy Spirit keeps us saved. The sap helps the tree grow. The Holy Spirit helps us grow. And then it also, we see here, it makes us produce, or the sap makes the tree produce. The Holy Spirit's there to help us produce. A couple of verses. Psalm 104:16. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Full of sap. And what did the Bible tell us when we started today? Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. The trees of the Lord, the ones that God's using in a great mighty way, they're full of sap. I mean, it's just gushing out. It's there to produce. And so we see that Ephesians 5:18 tells us to be filled with that Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be there. Let's look at John 15. Everybody turn over to John 15 real quick. I'm going to read a few verses. I want you to see this. We're talking about the sap that's in the tree. The Holy Spirit represents the sap. In John 15, verse 1, it says here, "I am the true vine." All right, He's the tree. He's the roots. He's what provides. It says here, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." He's watching. He's checking us out. He's doing inventory. This tree's doing this, and this tree's doing that. And what do we need to do? Verse 2, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And of course, those of you that have growing things, that's what you do. If this one vine puts off a lot, sometimes you cut that one back so the other ones can get the nutrients. They need the sap over there. And so a lot of times we see here that Christians are pruned, maybe churches are pruned, things like that. Why? So it can produce more fruit. Number 3, or verse 3. "Now ye are clean through the word." which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, we've got to have the Holy Spirit. Unless the Holy Spirit draw the person, we can't lead them to Christ. If the Holy Spirit doesn't give the increase, we can't encourage anybody. We need that Holy Spirit. But He needs us too. That's just God's plan. Except it abideth in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. We've got to be connected to Jesus through that Holy Spirit. And it says here, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, and cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and a man gathers them and casts them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and ye shall be my disciples. And it goes on basically saying the same thing over and over. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you're full, you'll produce fruit. And you abide in me, and I in you, you can ask what you want, and I'll give it to you. That's God's plan for that sap, that Holy Spirit, to help us produce fruit. So, we see that it also, the last one, I think I got two more here. We'll get through them real quickly. Number 6, what do we see the Holy Spirit represent or described? As water in the sea. Now we've seen water in the well springing up. It's always going to be there. We see that flowing river that God wants to flow through us and to get people saved. Now we're seeing the water of the sea. So a little variation here. All water, obviously, but different representations of the water. The springing up, always being full, producing fruit. Thirdly, we see here, it's like a water in a sea. Now, water in a sea, obviously, it's contained, but it can be, it can be high tide, it can be low tide, it can be hurricane enforced and things like that, and that water can go everywhere. It can cause floods. So that's what this is saying, that the water is like a sea. It will fill every place. We see here the Holy Spirit will fill the whole man, just as the sea fills every nook and every cranny and every crevice and every chasm and everywhere that the water wants to go. It's not going to be contained. It's going to flow everywhere. So the Holy Spirit wants to take over every part of our life. It wants to fill every nook, every cranny. It don't want any place for anything else to get in there. Now, we talked about a while ago, or when we started, that this body is the temple of the house of the Holy Spirit. So He doesn't want us to take Him anywhere that He wouldn't want to go. He doesn't want anything brought into this body that He wouldn't want to be in there with. And so He does that. So He wants us to be full, every nook and every cranny. And He said, I want you to be filled like the waters of the sea. So the Holy Spirit is described as an occupant, as a seal, as a well springing up, as a river that flows, as sap in the tree, as water of the sea, and lastly, as the strength or the muscle of the body. The strength or the muscle of the body. Micah 3:8 says this, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might. And so somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit, they're going to have strength that somebody that's not doesn't have. Somebody that's been working out is probably going to be stronger than somebody that never works out. And so we see here that the Holy Spirit wants to be that strength. How can you react like that? It wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. How can you do all of that? It wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. That's where the strength comes from. Philippians 2:13 says this, for it is of God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. So no matter how strong we are, or intelligent we are, or moral that we are, or even spiritual we are, we still need God to work in us. So, I lied. We got one more. Sorry. And we'll just use this as our conclusion. So the last one is this. What is the Holy Spirit described as? He's described as the glory of the temple. The glory of the temple. Some of you, you've got let's say you've got an older house, but you remodeled the kitchen. That's kind of like the glory of the temple. You don't let anybody go anywhere else, but hey, we just had this kitchen remodel. Let's just all stand in here. This is awesome. Or maybe, you know, it'd be kind of odd, but if you, the only thing that was remodeled in your house was the bathroom. Let's just all go in here. This is really nice. This is the glory of the home. No, but some of us, we have an entry table, or we have a mantle, that focal point, that accent wall. I mean, that's just a thing. Everything sits around that, looks at that, whatever. So we see here that the Holy Spirit, that's what it wants. When God says, when people look at you, this is what I want to stick out. And there's verses in the Bible that talks about, you know, ladies, you know, about the hairdos and the makeup and the jewelry. The Bible's not saying don't have a hairdo and don't have makeup and don't have jewelry, but He's saying, hey, if you keep on reading, let the inner woman be what people see. The being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, they, you know, the first thing they see about us is not the hairdo or the lack of. All right. It's not the outfit, or it's not the, you know, accessories. There's a Christian, and they're full of the Holy Ghost. That's what He's saying. I want to be the glory of the temple. What sticks out? What catches the eye? What is obvious about that home? And let's read the verses. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this: Know ye not that the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So again, God wants the Holy Spirit's fullness to be the first thing that catches people's eye. The first thing that comes to their mind when they think of us or see us. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We read it already. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? He's in there. All right? And you are not your own. You were bought with a price. And so God's saying, okay, this is my house. What I want to be the first thing seen, to what I want to be the most prevalent, to what I want to be, you can't forget it, is the Holy Spirit's power. He wants to say divine ownership. And right now, the Bible talks about death and hell riding on that pale horse. And they might ride up, and if that person's lost and the Holy Spirit's not in there, death will have no problem taking that person's death. Hell will have no problem taking that person's soul to hell. But the Bible says if that's a saved person and death and hell come riding up, they're like, ooh, this is weird. Something's in there occupying that. I can't take the life out of it. I can't take that soul. It's occupied. And so again, I hope that the Holy Spirit's prevalent and recognizable to people down here. But I know He's going to be prevalent and recognizable when death and hell come up on me one day. And I hope it's a long time. And I hope I'm old when that happens. But if it happens tomorrow, I want to be full of the Holy Spirit. So when death and hell come riding up to try to take my soul to hell, occupied, first thing that I noticed, full of the Holy Spirit. Can't touch this. All right? So we see here, divine ownership, divine occupancy. Last verse, 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? There's no let's make a deal here. Okay? If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of the Holy Spirit. The devil can't, you can't be dual possessed. Now some people act like it. You're like, I thought they were a saved person. They're acting demon possessed. But it says here, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You can't be half full of the Holy Spirit and half full of demons. All right? You're all. God's full. It says here, for ye are the temple of the living God. And God hath raised, who hath God raised? I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, we see here that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we see here, how's the Bible describe the Holy Spirit? He's an occupant in this house. He's a sealant. He's that wellspring water. It's always going to be there. He's that river that flows. He's that sap in that tree that gives us life and the ability to produce fruit. He's the water of the sea that fills every nook and cranny as it flows over. And then He also is the strength of our body. But mostly He wants to be the glorification of our body. Are you living like the Holy Spirit wants you to live? Are you allowing Him to have every room? able to use every piece of furniture? Are you producing fruit? Are you doing what the Bible says the Holy Spirit wants to do in your body? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. And Lord, we saw several things. I believe it was 8 things here today that the Holy Spirit wants to do while He's inside of us. So Lord, help us not to resist it. Help us to just surrender to it. And Lord, I just ask you to work in our lives. Lord, help us, Lord, to not only let the Holy Spirit shine through us down here, but He's going to bring us all the way to you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to live in a way that be pleasing to you. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us an invitation. The altar's open if you'd like to come talk to the Holy Spirit. Give Him that room that you're keeping from Him. Let Him say, hey, you can have that piece of furniture too. My body is your temple. Brother Derek.